Okay, so we are live here this lovely end of February day here in Boulder, Colorado, and I am here with my Shakti Rise Immersion Spring session. And the title of the spring session this year is Springing Forth into Your Most Sensual Self. And I'm delighted today to have my dear friend, Kate Spear, here for our interview. Are you there, Kate?
I am here. Hi, Jeannie.
Oh, yay. Yay. Welcome. So I'm gonna start with your bio and then get into some juicy conversation here. So Kate Spear is an energy healer, conscious commerce coach, kirtan singer, and Access Conscious certified facilitator, as well as an RYT 200 yogini from Boulder, Colorado, who has spent a lifetime on a path of conscious awakening. As a teacher and facilitator of transformation and awakening for the past 20 years, her work spans and touches the personal heart, integrates conscious evolution, and contributes to radiant embodiment. In addition to her integrated journey of transformation, she brings with her a 10-year journey in an ashram where she awakened her heart through the path of yoga and chanting. Her voice is said to stir the depths of the heart and directly transmit an experience of inner divine love. Kate is passionate about bringing the gifts of radiant living into everyday living and is the founder of a sacred commerce community called Women Owning Wealth. Kate does personal transformation coaching, facilitates energy work, teaches Access Consciousness core classes, teaches harmonium, chanting, bhakti yoga, prosperity awakening, and leads kirtans around the country. Wow, Kate.
I know.
I love when I get to like reflect back to someone, even though a bio is a bio, it really is reflective of all the work that you've been doing.
Thank you for that. It was fun
to
hear.
Yeah, so, you know, I, of course, go right to this place where you inspired me, you and Wa actually inspired me first around, and of course, Krishnadas, but really to start playing harmonium myself and to move the heart energy you describe here in your bio is definitely something that I feel when I'm with you is you open your mouth and it's like, oh my goddess, like it's super transformative to be around you and your voice and your chanting. So I think it would be really sweet to start with this part of bhakti yoga and, you know, this to quote your bio, her voice is said to stir the depths of the heart and directly transmit an experience of inner divine love. You know, when we talk about stepping into your most sensual self, I know that chanting for me is really doing that. It's chanting and meditation, really evoking, and asana, I have to say, really evoking a sensual part of myself. And the chanting really, not only sensuality, but really the ability to express. So I'd love for you to start there.
Sure. Well, first of all, I will share that I had actually not ever really experienced chanting until I was already involved in an ashram experience. So I was had a guru and a teacher, was learning meditation practices and asana, and a lot of energy was opening up in me. And sometimes that energy feels really amazing, and sometimes that energy feels really uncomfortable. And what happened for me was that I started to bring that, all of that, both the amazing energy and the really uncomfortable energy in me, into a chanting practice, because I found that that was the only place for me at the time that I knew that it could take all of me. It would actually, the chanting practice, sitting down and singing the Sanskrit, it received all of me and allowed what I was maybe judging as difficult or maybe what I was judging as amazing. It didn't really matter when I brought it to the chanting practice, that it would just all kind of go through the energy of my heart and come out into this beautiful nectar. And it wasn't even necessarily the sound that I was looking to be beautiful like you might when you're singing. When you're chanting, it was just the experience of untangling energy and allowing it to flow with complete complete ease and total acceptance is really what the chanting experience is for me. Mm. And so my relationship with chanting really started to open up my own relationship to divine love, where it's not judgeable. It's not, I'm not looking for it to be good or bad or light or dark or any of those kinds of qualifiers.
Right.
It just is.
Right. Right. Yeah, it really does put you in the state of isness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. Would you describe what heart awakening really meant to you or means to you now?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
wow, that's a great question.
I know.
And I think it's a big and courageous journey, really, actually, to even have that question, what would it take to have my heart open and have that awakened experience? Because as the heart, for me at least, as the heart awakens, it has all kinds of sensations, not unlike when your foot maybe has been asleep and starts to wake up. It's highly sensational and not always comfortable. So for me, it became a very trusting journey to move through all these different sensations of the heart as it really awakens up back into its natural state. That's my opinion and my experience is that it's just allowing the heart to come back to its natural state where maybe we've put it to sleep or it's been hidden or twisted or knotted up or tied up or who knows, all the different things that are going on in there when we allow it to unfold itself into its natural state. But for me anyway, it was quite sensation filled. And it took a very strong and powerful meditation practice for me to be still through those heightened sensations as my heart unfolded. And to me, it really actually allowed the localization of my heart to transcend transcend everywhere into my being, so that I don't know that I could actually point to my heart and say, this is my heart and this is what awakening is, because
right.
when it really moves into a state of beingness, it takes all that beautiful nectar or like a beautiful sugar cube of a heart and it dumps it into the cup of tea of me. And so that sweetness, that nectar of the opened heart exist in your state of being.
It's interesting. As a deep meditator myself, I often kind of have that question of, you know, what is awakening? What does it mean to be in a state of love? And I do feel when I experience this that there is a feeling of difference dissolving and this understanding that we are all made of consciousness, that we are all pulsing lights of consciousness, is an expression that I would say that I do experience. And yet mm-hmm. we're in bodies and we're in different bodies. And so we bump into each other at times. And then, you know, I would describe that as like a little bit of contrast where, and we might lose that sense of, you know, what we might call love or unity consciousness or that state of non-separation. And I wonder what you think as far as evolution goes. Do you believe that that's where we're headed? Or, you know, when I look at the rise of feminine consciousness and the ability to evolve consciousness, I don't think that living in difference and looking at difference so much is actually helping the world. Do you know what I mean? I look
yeah.
at this a lot, and you know, if we look at war, for example, and we look at like the intensity of difference and how when we separate from each other, we think, well, I have this idea and my country is better because of this or that, or my yoga studio is better because we do it this way or that way, or, you know, it's really not helping us tap into an awakened state. It really, I feel like, keeps me outside that state. And I'm just curious as to how you view that.
Well, I guess how I view it would be the consciousness that you were talking about, excuse me, around competition or either or win-lose or that kind of way of looking at difference is really a mind reality, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at it through the lens of duality.
Yes.
And when we drop it into a different lens, like the lens of the heart or the state of consciousness, that we're actually looking at, it's possible to look at it more from what I would say an artistic standpoint. So you're just looking at differences of that's total joyful. Like, it's really fun for me right now. I'm actually looking out at the ocean, and the fact that I can see the white cap on top of the water and the fact that they're different colors makes it look actually really fascinating, and it's giving a really beautiful contrast in the way that the palm tree is fanning itself against the blue sky. You know, so I'm looking at something that could be called different, or I'm looking at something and acknowledging that they're having a unique expression, but because I'm receiving it through artistry, I'm not looking for one to be better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually looking at them and receiving the whole view relationally and going, wow, I'm so grateful that that tree is willing to be who it really is, which is completely different than the reality of that water, and then that sand gets to be that, you know, you get where I'm going. So
yeah,
the joy of contrast from an artistic standpoint, from looking at creation or from being willing to be the energy of creation even, because of great sensual beauty, you know, and even the way contrast shows up in sex and sexuality, and just looking at the different kinds of energies and the fact that we have two different bodies, or we're putting bodies together or whatever, that actually derives great pleasure and great capacity into our sensual, or that taste different, or, you know, that you can just hear my voice, right? Like, I have so much aliveness around the joys of that kind of uniqueness, but it requires a willingness to be in communion, to be receiving everything in simultaneous reality.
Yeah, I love where you just went with that, because part of what you offer is sex and relationship coaching, which I find totally cool and fascinating. You know, I happen to be in like a 22-year-old marriage that is highly sexual and very intimate and incredibly dynamic in many ways. I see that there is this really cool play between my husband and I, where it's yielding and giving and yielding and giving, and just it's quite beautiful to watch the interplay.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, in your, like you say, you know, that you work with, you know, sex and relationship coaching on your website, what do you describe as sexual awakening?
Yay. Same. I'm going to talk about it in the same way I did a little bit the heart. That
yes.
That sexual awakening is often so different than we imagine it. That it's actually this integration of the fullness of the creativity of you occurring within your own body and your own being. You cannot share that with someone until you're really actually receiving it within yourself. So a sexual awakening, to me, is like a willingness to be in aliveness, the willingness to be out in the world and exchanging energies fully. You know, for me to be receiving fully from the ocean and contributing back to her fully is actually a sexual relationship with the earth. And coming into that willingness to really open up to what is penetration really? And what is this willingness to receive really? It's this exchange of energies. And as we bring that then into our bodies, and enjoy the polarities of our bodies and putting our bodies on each other and in each other in a sexual intimate relationship, there's that enjoyment of being fully alive. Because as much as you make a really alive, open, orgasmic experience about the person you're with, it's also really about who you're willing to be with yourself. And allowing yourself to open fully and to be vulnerable in the presence of other, and to really start to view your pleasure as one of your most beautiful offerings to the world.
I love this. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, I just see that sexual awakening and sexual capacities really have to do with who we're willing to be in the world, and what would it take for us to be that fully open. and to explore lowering our barriers and opening our vulnerability and being open about our pleasures, our joys.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting. You were talking about just like, you know, looking at the ocean and stuff. I have so many sort of sensual moments with nature.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and in my meditation practice, highly, highly sensual. Just, you know, I'm starting to really understand Hafiz and Rumi's poetry more about, you know, how the divine is really making love to you, because I'm like, holy shamoly, like, this is like very, very sensual. And the Kundalini's path and the body is quite ecstatic. And then I also have this relationship to nature. I mean, I remember being in a sweat lodge not so long ago where, you know, you're naked in most of these sweats and sitting on the earth and just feeling this incredible sensual energy rising up in my body. And I was like, okay, well, there is no, like, you know, my husband's not here. There are men in here, but that's not this. This is actually coming from the earth. And it was like I was having this relationship with the earth, and it was quite ecstatic. So I love what you're saying about the awakening within yourself and then bringing that into a partnership. It's a quite beautiful, you know, I kind of think of that sort of autonomous, sort of like we have sexual autonomy in a way. And then when we bring that into partnership, it's very fruitful. That's just very cool. So when you work with people, can you tell us a little bit about that process? I mean, I'm sure it's really different in different situations.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Super different. Oftentimes I work with people all over the country, so oftentimes I'm actually not even live with somebody. I might be working with them on the phone or in the context of Skyping or Zooming or something like that. But really I'm taking people on an energetic exploration of putting themselves back into the center of their own reality. Because to really be fully sexually and sensually alive, you have to be really present and really, really living your life in a way that's a contribution to yourself as well. Because as we know, that some of these age-old patterns that don't work of martyrdom or victim or blaming or shaming or whatever these old habituated ways of being is, they don't really contribute to our sexual self. They don't really contribute to our sensual reality. And so in the process of opening up to our sexual and sensual awakening, there is an inquiry around, like, how am I treating myself and how am I showing up to my life, and am I actually even willing, or do I feel okay about choosing ecstatic pleasure, or do I have some clean out, you know, or some judgment in there or shame in there or that kind of thing, or how am I treating my body, or, you know, so some of these inquiries are really maybe things people have had inquiry before, but not really understanding that that is what's going to give them access to their sensual self again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting when I look back on even the beginnings of my my relationship with an asana practice. You know, I don't think I realized for a little while, like, what was really happening was I was actually really opening energy through especially my pelvis, and it you know, started to show up. I was like, wow, I feel so much more expressive. And then, you know, even being rolled another layer and then continuously, it's just, I think, really turning us back towards what we really always have been, and that we are sensual beings. We are sexual beings. And to not have – inhibition is one of those words that I would describe as – something that I have felt in myself and seen radical transformation, radical remembering of who I really am. And it's incredibly delightful. It's just, I can't imagine not living in a sensual, relationship to the world, to my husband, to life, to nature. So I think it's this is very powerful work you're offering. And I would say that, you know, I'm sure that the chanting piece also plays a part in, I don't know if you're doing that in these healing sessions, but I know that when I do my chanting for private clients, I always, even if we're doing kind of working on concrete like alignment issues or an injury, we chant, and I always get the same response, and particularly with people that are really suffering right now. I'm thinking of one friend who is just has a lot going on with her body and dis-ease, and I don't even think it's anything else that we do. It's like we get to the Shavasana piece, and there's this beautiful chanting that's going on, and it's incredibly healing, restoring. And she won't bring herself to chant yet, but still, and the listening and the imbibing in it is so healing.
Well, there's a lot of connection too between obviously all the chakras, but the second chakra and the throat chakra and the expression and the feeling of freedom of allowing our sensuality to come out into the world can often feel constricted in the throat area, but and then recognizing that there's source constrictions in the pelvis area that are related to that. So the chanting practice in opening up our sensual self, our fluid body, our even our own hormonal realities, our endocrinatic system, like all kinds of things that just start to get sourced and nourished even on a physiological level, that give us back access to the feelings of aliveness and feeling even that beautiful flow of being sourced and that all is well is an extremely sensual moment for everyone. So chanting, absolutely. And for me, really, the words like living a turned on life.
Yeah.
And feeling a turned on body sometimes has to do with your clit, and sometimes it's a lot bigger than that. You know, it's a lot more than that. And the chanting really gives that Sanskrit activation to all your pathways and all your meridians to be like, hello, welcome, turning on the light here everywhere in your reality through the chanting is an incredible experience. And it's the tantra itself, you know, the deeper tantra. There's the physical touch tantra, but also the deeper exchanges of the tantra. I have a very much so, I'm sure you've heard me say this, a lovemaking relationship with my harmonium.
Yes. I believe it. I've been around it. I know that to be true.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. And I would say that, now I'm not going to remember exactly how you put that, but it really is that living that jubilant expression of who you are is something I experience when I'm around you. Really, I do feel that. It is very palpable to feel when there's inhibition in people, and I've been, you know, teaching for a long enough time to sense the ways in which we close off our energy and how it really can lead to dis-ease and discomfort and pain and you know, what is the word? We're meant, really, I think, to discover and rediscover that our essential nature really is ananda, really is blissful. And when you get hits of this, and you know this, and you've felt it, whether it's through harmonium, bhakti chanting, or asana practice, or you know, deep states of meditation, amazingly sensual. But many women don't have this pathway yet, so I think it's. I really want to inspire these women that are taking this course to, you know, continue to find whatever it is. If we're going to be doing some dance, some body mantra during this day-long retreat we're doing during this course, as well as asana chanting and meditation and, you know, deep-seated mantra and of course just like dialoguing with nature, man. I love, like, on my retreat in Mexico, we always, the last day, a bunch of women, the guys don't usually come. It's just this women's thing. It's so beautiful. We all just go down and we strip down and we just plunge into the ocean and just play and laugh. And it's just, it's absolutely stunning. It's like usually the sun is just coming over the mountaintop and it's just like, oh my God, to be naked in the ocean is just so divine.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I totally, it's like, the words to express this sort of like juicy, juice-filled, unctuous life. that's what I, you know, I really love to work on that in myself. And of course, you know, life has a way of moving in ways that can, I use the word contrast, where I might come home from retreat and feel super ecstatic, and then I've got 10 bills on the desk, and then the laundry's piled up, and I have to work a little bit with, or someone throws a comment at me, which happened to me the other day, and it was like, oh, here it is. Here is my moment by moment, mundane, ordinary, everyday life, and how am I going to continue to find the unctuousness in this place of my money, in the place of my laundry, in the place of my, usually I always find it in cooking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But the dishes piling up, and, you know, the kids not picking up, or whatever, however we find we're in sort of a contrast, or we're in a place where you don't feel the unctuousness again. It's, I know that you also work with conscious business coaching, and I've known this for some time, and I've worked on this a lot in myself. It's such a Lakshmi practice, is bringing the sacred into my money, and doing my inner practices for my outer practices. And sometimes that means that I sit down and I light a candle and I bring a cup of tea and I go to my QuickBooks and I do it. I'm like, okay, here I am. You know, how is it that we find a sensual, even maybe sexual relationship to money? I mean, I don't know how you approach that, but I know you coach.
I would love that. Yeah, totally. I love throwing the question too, and this is not one to be answered, but it's just one to keep asking. If money were my lover, would we still be having sex?
Ooh.
So, yeah, so looking really at like how, like what is this relationship with money, and how have you created it in a way to be something that's maybe not really an authentic relationship for yourself? And I love working with people around that and saying, hey, we get to have a turned on relationship with anything and everything that we're creating. And if something feels like a turnoff, or if you're running it in your life as if it were a turnoff, then you get to go on a journey of inquiry with yourself. What would a turned on reality look like for me? And to start looking at that instead of saying, well, this sort of turns me off, so how can I get it to be turned on? That's not really what we want to look at. We want to look at more, what would it take for me to actually create my life in a way that's true for me? And things like money and pathways of business or parenting, whatever, they oftentimes we're running them in a way that isn't even true for us. We're trying to follow somebody else's rule or do it the right way or not mess up or things that are kind of turn off energy. If you brought any of those energies into actual sex, doing it the right way, doing it someone else's way, overthinking it's not great sex. And that's true for living a turned on life in any area of our life, if we're adding those things. So that's where we really get to step back into the artistry of our own living. And I like using, when I feel contrast, like you were mentioning earlier, I like being aware of them and then using them as a recognition of, well, what else could I be choosing here that I haven't considered yet?
Yes.
Or is there something else possible here? So I love feeling the contrast, because that actually allows me to make a new choice. If I'm not willing to feel contrast, you know, if I kind of turn down the sensation reality there, then I'll just keep choosing the same mediocre thing. If I'm really willing to feel it, that actually can be the inspiration for me to not choose it that way. Then don't parent that way. Or then look at a different way to run your money, or hire someone to do that part of it, or whatever. Like all the different inquiries that are possible, because I really celebrate that there are more and more creative ways of being and joyful ways of being that are possible when we're each being true to ourselves.
I totally get this, and I so agree with the contrast. As you know, I think of this sort of tantric statement of, you know, turn your kleshas into lakshmis, and stains or marks or, you know, resistance or contrast, or however we want to view that, how do we take it from here to there? It's really a yogic practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think contrast is actually essential for growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that the universe is actually, science is proving this now, it's so cool, that the universe is actually not only just expanding, it's contracting.
Mm-hmm.
And the stars are doing that, you know, and we do it every night. We go to bed and then we get up and, you know, throughout the day we have this, the eyes are blinking, you know, we're moment by moment contracting and expanding. And so I love to look at,
which is the energy of orgasm, I have to
say.
I'm just going to add that. On a very physical level, that is the energy of earth, birth is the energy of orgasm, and neither one is better. It's the fact that both are pulsing back and forth that creates happiness. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. It's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Kate, there's so much more, and I'm looking at the time.
Yes.
Geez, is there anywhere else you want to go for the next few minutes that feels... like you just want to say this to these women?
Yes, I think that what just popped in for me is I so encourage you to live and be this turned on woman that you truly are, and do it in the presence of each other and inspire each other, and, you know, use your capacities for joy, for being lit up and in the vision and the artistry of your unique self, to inspire each other so we can start creating community together based on our great selves, on our full selves, on our orgasmic selves, and take that out from behind the closet and put that out into the middle of the world. And it's okay if someone isn't comfortable around it, because they might just be feeling a moment of their own contraction, and that's okay. That's going to inspire somebody to be willing to choose what you've been willing to choose in the way that works for them. So I just feel like such a platform and soapbox around that. Like, let's just all go out there and be this full expression of turned on self and start changing the world and the planet that way. Because to me, an orgasmic reality is really world peace. Why would you ever fight with somebody when you're in the throes of enjoying your own orgasmic reality?
That's so true. Thank you so much. I thought it would be neat to end with a quote from your website, which is, you say, "What I know is your brilliance is your birthright. Choose it, live it, be it. Together, the brilliance of each of us illuminates the world and changes everything." So
awesome.
Thank you so much, Kate. I just want to let everyone know they can find you at katespear.com, and that's KateSpear.com. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your retreat to come talk to us today, and I can't wait to see you when you get back home.
Same for me. All right. Same off.
Woo! Okay. Lots of love.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Thank you.